Good morning. Boy, it is a beautiful morning. Look at the sun streaming through those beautiful stained glass windows. What a marvelous morning. I want to thank Bob Hall and his team of chefs putting together these delicious breakfasts. Just a wonderful morning of fellowship and food, and now spiritual food. If you're a visitor, what a wonderful Sunday to be here. This second Sunday of Advent also coincides with our annual Youth Sunday. So we are so blessed to have so many youth who are going to be serving the Lord this morning as our participants in leadership roles throughout the worship service. Before we begin the worship service, are there any parish notices to come before us? Any parish notices?
Okay, so first of all, we will have cookie jars today. If you pre-order them or if you want to buy them, we now also have a toffee flavor. So those will be out there after the service. And then your bulletin says that dinner theater is tonight and next Sunday. It is just next Sunday. So we will not be here tonight. So next Sunday, dinner theater, 6:30.
Thank you. So you're not going to do two shows? Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for pointing that out.
Sorry about that, Taylor.
I have children's recitations. If you have a child that would like to say one for our Christmas program on December 21st, so see me if you have a child that would like to do that.
Very good. Any other parish notices to come before us? Yeah. Yes, Jean.
Just on the dinner theater note, if any of you are interested in coming to see any of these girls here afterwards, if we don't have a ticket, we will write your name down so we can keep track so I know how much food to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Really looking for your third annual. Is it third or fourth?
Fourth.
Like I said, your fourth annual. Boy, Taylor, I'm really rolling today, aren't I? I got you for two shows and now I've got the count wrong. Fourth annual. Just really looking forward to it. Thank you so much, young people. Any other parish notices to come before us? Help me out, you know. show old Greg some mercy here. Any other parish notices? Well, then I just will mention, and I'm not going to say much about it because you're going to hear a nice word about this to prepare us. But the closing of the service, if you're a visitor here, we have what's called a pickle jar offering. During the closing hymn, as we're actually singing the hymn, you're going to be able to come and give a change offering. And this is going to go, and boy, this is timely, huh? This is going to go to Salvation Army. But more about that in a moment. Let's prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Thank you.
God of justice, healing, and love, we come this morning in this season of waiting and longing and hope to listen for your voice, to hear your call, and to see transformation. May this time of worship strengthen our resolve to live lives of justice and radical love. All to the glory of Christ we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. In the wilderness of our daily lives, a voice cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord."
Let us hear what God is saying.
God has shown us favor by restoring our fortunes.
Let us rejoice in what God is doing.
God rules this world with tenderness and might.
Let us share what God is offering.
The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Let all people see it and turn their hearts to God.
Let us proclaim what God is bringing.
In the wilderness of our daily lives, a voice cries out,
"Prepare the way of the Lord."
Our hymn is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," number 240 in the hymnal.
And now take this opportunity. Welcome your neighbors through the passing of the peace.
Oh, yeah. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" And John, the messenger of God, proclaimed to all the people who came to him in the wilderness that they must repent of their sins and be baptized. Many people heard his message, repented, and were baptized in the River Jordan. It has become our custom to prepare for the birth of the Messiah by decorating our cities and homes, hanging lights inside and out, singing Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and measuring the quality of our Christmas morning by the number of gifts we receive.
As we light this second candle in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, perhaps we need to listen again to John the Baptizer's message, preparing the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths, repent of your sin, be baptized, and live holy lives devoted to God.
All to our Lord Jesus, amen.
Excellent, young people. Thank you so much. Very, very powerful message. Thank you. And now at this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. Great to see you. Well, are you preparing? Are you preparing for Christmas? I'm going to show you a little something here. You ready? You ready for this? Oh. Oh, isn't that pretty? I'm a big kid when it comes to Christmas lights. In fact, you could ask poor Lisa back there. I hope I'm not annoying you and Chris. Are we okay, neighbor? Well, I was going to say I'm a little bit likened to Griswold in the Christmas vacation. I confess that. But you heard a very, very profound message from the youth just now about John the Baptist, about preparing the way of the Lord, preparing our hearts for Christmas. I mean, I love this. In fact, I'm liking that more and more right now. I never even plugged it in yet, Dave. It's first time, Gail, I've ever seen it. I love it, but that isn't it. That isn't it. I mean, it's fun. And yes, to be sure, there's something about the symbolism of light that we use, these symbols. But that's what they are. Symbols are signs. Signs point to something else, something far, far greater. These are all intended to be symbols of the light of the world, the light that shines in Jesus Christ. So when John the Baptist says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, he's not talking actually about physical highways. He's talking about spirit. He's talking about our hearts and our souls. So let me just get some pointers from you. What are some ways that you think we could prepare for this gospel of Jesus Christ, prepare for the Lord to live in our hearts? Some ideas. What's the best ways to prepare for Christmas in our hearts and our souls? Any idea? Any idea? Boy, I tell you, I think you're working on them. Yes, you are. Any ideas? Anybody want to just offer a suggestion of a way that perhaps we could prepare for this spiritual gift? Anybody got an idea? Anybody? Well, I'm not going to scare you. You know, by the way, you know what I do when I'm scared? We were talking about it this morning. The guys and I were talking about, I had an old colleague, Grace and Atha. And Grace and Atha said about not being able to pray in school. You know how the state laws are, right? You know what Grace and Atha said? He said, as long as there are tests, there will be prayers in school. Right? You ever been there? You ever been afraid? And what do? You pray. You pray. No power. No power upon earth or in any state can prevent you from prayer. You're going to pray in your heart. And that's what John the Baptist is talking about. This is a matter of the heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's do that right now. Let's make a circle. Now, we could speak out loud here in this place of worship. We're still allowed to do that. So let's make a circle here. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the light of the world in Jesus Christ, Savior of all that is. And therefore, Lord, we want you to use us as your instruments that we might be your witnesses of Christ, that we might introduce others to Jesus to help prepare the way of the Lord. Thank you for Jesus and his love. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Now, one of the things that we also hand you are your suckers. These are good tools. I'll have Brother Dave come forward. Brother Dave's going to come forward. He's going to help me with these. All right, sir. And again, special thanks to our young people who are doing such a fine job of serving. And they're going to be serving here again shortly. In fact, Sydney is going to help with the microphone. She's going to carry the microphone for us. Very good. Good choices. Good choice. Yeah, those are good, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah, very good, Mylon. Very good. Yeah, well, he's going to work. He's going to work. Hi, buddy. Are you going to go to work, too? You going to give one to somebody? Huh? You going to give one to somebody? Yeah. Well, yeah. Tell him. Say Jesus. Oh, wait, we're at the very last one. Very good, Brother Dave. All right, well, you all may return to your pews. And we're going to have, as I said, we're going to have Sydney's going to come forward at this time. If you are a visitor, we welcome you. We prepare every week. We live in preparation. We prepare for visitors. There's a visitor's card. If you want to take a moment, fill that out. If you wish to put your telephone number on there, drop that in the offering plate. And the ushers, when they come by in a little bit with the morning offering, just drop that in the offering plate, and they get me those cards. So we always get a call back to you to get you better acquainted with the church family. Well, I'll bet you really want to get to know this group, don't you? And this is a wonderful group. So the joys and concerns. If you have a joy, it could be, for instance, a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary announcement. It could be a testimony of how the light of the world is shining that light on your pathway. You want to lift up that testimony, that good news. Lift that joy up, or a concern. Maybe there's somebody who is sick. Mrs. Holden just shared with us about Keith, and so you want to continue to remember Keith in your prayers. He had that eye surgery this week, so continue to remember him. Dad's here. We got Wilmer here, but we want to remember. That's an example of a concern. Lift somebody up for prayer. Joys or concerns, raise your hands. Sydney's going to bring you the microphone. Raise your hand.
Once again, I'm grateful that my youth showed up today, so I didn't have to do it all myself. I want to thank all my beautiful girls today. We're all girls. I don't know where my boys are, but thank my girls for coming and doing such a nice job.
Thank you, Jean. Let's hear for the young people serving today, serving the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I wanted to go ahead and invite anyone to our Wednesday night program for the preschool. It's at 7 o'clock. If you want to be entertained for free, that's the way to do it. So,
it's Wednesday night, is it, Tona? Is it here in the sanctuary? All righty. All right, Linda, maybe we can meet in the fellowship hall, perhaps, or... Excuse me?
Santa's coming after, so...
Oh!
It's on the calendar.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
Thursday night, then. Thursday night for choir. Very good.
Okay, I guess we've got a joy and a concern in the respect Ashley got her license. So, joy and a concern. So, I guess we just need to keep all our young children that are learning to drive in our prayers.
I love it,
that's
Marie.
For sure.
I love Thank it. Thank you. Thank you. Raise the joy. Yes. Good for you, Ashley. Good for you. And I know we will have some. Oh, thank you, Vicky. Yeah, go ahead, Roger. Derek had a birthday on Tuesday. Raise the cheer. My sound engineer. Sound engineer extraordinaire. Thank you, son. God bless you. Thank you, Dad. Other joys or concerns?
I have a prayer concern for my niece, Amy Allison, Todd's wife. She just found out she has breast cancer and has to go through chemo before they do surgery. So we need her in your prayers.
Thank you, Linda. Indeed, indeed. Lift her up. Lift her up for your prayer concerns. Any others? Any others to be lifted? Or joys? Joys or concerns? And I know we have one over here. A couple.
Well, I have from the United Methodist Women. This is, you all have a special opportunity. Shelley said she puts this offer on the table. If she will do the vice presidency for our group, if someone would like to do the secretary's job, I think that's a deal. But don't you think that's a deal, Shelley?
That's a good deal, yeah.
So Shelley is willing to do that if any of our our United Methodist Women would like to participate in that. I think Marianne could use a little more help if you want to be a greeter or a hostess for our next season. And I tell you, the real joy here is our joy to thank you. We were able, Vicki presented a financial report I don't know that we've ever had before. And we have the opportunity to serve 11 organizations and give them $300 each. So you do the math. That's $3,300. Our UMW, I see the youth here today, UMW is able to give out. I don't think we've been able to do that. We couldn't do that without all of your support to the projects that we've put out this last year. And we hope that that money goes out to help the women and children and adolescents that we believe in supporting. So I do want to thank you as the president, and I really do thank the unit members and you as a congregation for supporting what we do. Thanks very much.
Praise the Lord. Raise a cheer. That's awesome. That's awesome, Lynn.
I've got a bit of an issue going on, and I'd like to need some help. Because of the Privacy Act, we're not getting names that we need in the community so to help out for the Christmas. But we are feeling and finding there's a lot of needs in the area, but mainly to pay bills. Medical bills, hospital bills, electric bills, water bills. There's a lot of needs to pay bills. So it's our intent, with your blessing, to collect money this year for the people, and then we'll use that money to pay bills for them. They're not going to be getting cash. They'll be getting their bills paid.
Gotcha.
So if it's in your heart, if you can, next week or the week after, whatever, put it in the envelope and mark it for Christmas, and we can get the money to the people or get the bills paid or whatever needs to be done for the issues. Okay. The school is going to be doing some of the presents, and we may be helping them with some of the monies also. Anyway, so just an idea of where we're at, where we're going with it, and with your blessing, we'll see if we can make something happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bob. In fact, I've got some people that have been approaching me, Bob, for asking those questions, and they've got, you know, monetary gifts they want to give. Make it out to Christmas. Say United Methodist Men, United Methodist Men, so that they'll know that that's what it's for. Very good, Bob. Thank you. Yes, sir, Dick Miller.
As I'm sure you all noticed in the bulletin or on the screen, we have decided this morning to dedicate the pickle jar to the Salvation Army. Local needs is in comfortable shape, and so we decided this would be our local need for today is the Salvation Army.
Very timely offer. Very timely opportunity. Thank you, Dick. Any other sharings? Joys or concerns? Let's show an appreciation for Sydney. Was there another? I'm sorry, was there another? Let's show an appreciation for Sydney and all of our youth. Thank you, Sydney. All of our young people. Let's turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to come here to worship you and to have these many opportunities to be your conduits of blessing. You have blessed us in so many ways. And now, for those blessings to spill over, as Brother Bob has just lifted up, as Sister Lynn just lifted up, the many, many needs, oh Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege of serving the one who has given everything for us. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you, Father. Now bless us as we lift up from our hearts the prayer that Jesus invites us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Invite us to stand for this beautiful, beautiful hymn. 219, What Child Is This? You may be seated, and at this time, I want to give as we're lifting up Keith in our prayers, and please continue to remember him. A serious, serious situation. Dad's here. Linda shared with us that 80% of the retina was detached. 80%. I talked to him after the surgery, but Linda did just recently speak with him and got a better update that already there is some sight recognition in that eye. And so as we continue to remember him in our prayers, Wilmer, I also want to extend a thanks to Linda Holden, who, she's wearing many hats this morning, Linda. You're wearing a lot of hats, but I tell you what, she can sure do it, Larry. So she's going to lead the choir now in our communion hymn. Thank you, Linda.
Mark 1:1-8. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the God of Son. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending the messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for him, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that the people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Thank you, Katie. And thanks to all of our youth this morning. And Katie, I've had the advantage, 21 years. I remember y'all when you're just tiny little things. Tiny, which brings me to the following story. Where's Phil? Phil, I told you, grandfather. You ready? After some last-minute Christmas shopping, a woman was rushing her two grandchildren into the car, and it was then that four-year-old Jason announced, "Grandma, Susie's got something in her pocket." And right about then, Gail, four-year-old Jason reaches into his little sister's pocket and sure enough, pulls out a brand new red beret. Well, although she was tired, grandmother knew that it was important, young people, that Susie returned that item exactly where she found it. And they did just that. Then they went off to the grocery store to do some grocery shopping. And later on, they came to the checkout line. And the checkout clerk good-naturedly sees these two little cherubs. And he says to them, "Have you been good so that Santa will come to your house?" "I've been very good," says four-year-old Jason. "Little sister here just robbed a store." All kinds of surprises. All kinds of surprises. You know, some of them shake you up, and some of them are so good that they shake you up. And that's exactly what happened when John the Baptist entered the scene. Now, what a sight he must have been. Larry, I've told you before, Rusty Poole down on the Ohio River. Rusty, my old buddy, he's with the Lord now. And, of course, I lived down there. I was a ridge runner down there, Gene. Your hubby knows about Adams County. Jeff knows Adams County. Brown County. But down in Adams County, I mean, they were these sections that were so rough that Senator Doug White told me, I said, "Well, now, I'm an old circuit rider. I'm not afraid to go anywhere." He says, "Preacher, you don't go up such and such road. Not that ridge. They got the stills up there, Dave." I said, "Well, you mean a circuit rider can't go up there?" He says, "The IRS won't go up there." He says, "Don't you go up there." I got turned around one day, Larry, and I'm up there in those hills, and all of a sudden, of course, they didn't have GPS, right? So I got all turned around, and Laura sees the street sign, Gene, and Jeff, that's when she says, "Oh, good heavens, honey, get us out of here." And I'm telling you, I tried. I was trying as fast as I could. When suddenly we came, and you should have seen these ridges. This highway was so low between two hills, right? And here they came out of the porches, and man, they were looking at me, Danny. And I was looking at them, and I was looking up to the Lord. "Please, Lord, get me out of this." Well, we got out of it. But, I mean, there were some rough areas, and I mean, there were hermits up there. And so Rusty had fun telling me the joke. I've shared it with you before. The old hermit lived up there, and there was a guy that was on a footpath, and he got turned around, Gail. He got lost. So, man, I mean, he really got lost, and he got thirsty. So he comes to this old hut, this old hermit, And man, oh man, the flies are just buzzing around his old beard, you know. Today's breakfast was there. Yesterday's breakfast is there. You see, oh my goodness. So here the guy's thirsty. He says, Mister, I'm just dying of thirst. Can you give me some water? And he points to a gourd. He says, just use that gourd there, feller. Go ahead and dip her down in there and get you a good drink. Well, he's thinking to himself while the gnats and the flies are buzzing around that beard, and it's, you know, he's thinking, is he left-handed? Is he right-handed? Did he drink from that side? And then he had a moment of brilliance. He noticed that the gourd handle had a hole in it. Of course, the handle's hollow. He dips it down and he drinks it from the handle. And the old hermit just says, my lands, never thought I'd see another feller who drank from a gourd just like me. I got to tell you, John the Baptist was a similar to that appearance. You heard what Katie lifted up. He had that appearance. But oh my, the real shakeup came not from his appearance, not from anything superficial, but from that which was spiritual, that which is within. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In those days when a king was coming, they actually had to go out and fill in the gullies and the pits. They had to fill them in. They had obstacles. They had to go out there and cut them down, remove them, take all that, and use a lot of that fill, right, to put into those low places so that they made a way for the king to come to the villages. So here it is, the King of Kings is coming, and he's not talking about earthly highways. Again, as our youth lifted up in the Advent wreath lighting, this is spirit. This is prepare your heart, prepare your heart for the entrance of the King of Kings that we might better serve him. I had a meeting with Lillian Imbick roughly back in 2006, received the Presidential Award for Volunteer of the Year of the United States. They later took her to D.C., she and Byron, her beloved husband. But Michael W. Smith, who often collaborated with Amy Grant, we have one of the hymns. I think it's a light unto my, thy word is a light unto, thy word is a light unto my feet. I should have written down the hymn number. It's in your hymn book. If you look it up, I think you'll see Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. I believe they collaborated on that. But he came precisely to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to deliver the Presidential Award that year to Lillian Imbick. And Brian and I were honored. See, Brian, of course, Brian was the pro. I was his tag along. And years ago, Glenn Kraft, when Ronnie Millsap came, to give you an idea of his pedigree, when Ronnie Millsap came to Fort Wayne to the Coliseum, Glenn Kraft was the guitarist for the Fort Wayne Orchestra to play for Ronnie Millsap. Well, Glenn Kraft played for years. For years, Brian Stewart was his boss. It was an honor to tag along with my spiritual father, Brian. And that's how we ended up in Audiences Unlimited. Well, as I said, 2006, Lillian received this joyous award for all of her service and a devout Christian. 2 months later, her beloved Byron, he was in his 90s, her beloved husband, died. And she has sorely missed him. She often asked about Fritzy. Dave, she always asks about Fritzy. The pain is still in her heart, but she still serves. And her life, again, she was engineered, just as John the Baptist, she was engineered to be a servant of the Most High God. And so she called me up Friday to have lunch with her in Fort Wayne. Dick, that's where I was, Dick. I was away from my cell phone when an important message came in for this pickle jar, this opportunity. We're going to come to that in a second. So Lillian says to me, she says, you know, Greg, we have to always be prepared to serve our Lord. She says, you know, you never know when someone may need that witness. And then she related, I'll never forget this, she related what her pastor told her at United Methodist Church right there in Fort Wayne. He said, Lillian, you know, remember, be prepared, because you may be the only Bible that someone's ever read. And she looked at him kind of, you know, strangely. He says, let me explain. He said, I don't mean literally read, but there are a lot of souls out there in our culture today who've never been churched, who've never opened the Holy Book. Your witness of Christ may be their first introduction to the King of Kings. Be prepared, she says, Greg. Be prepared. Be prepared, says John the Baptist, because the greatest gift that the world has ever known has come to us. In fact, most theologians acknowledge, most of your commentaries acknowledge, Brother Warren, that even John the Baptist, engineered as he was before his birth, even he didn't fully fathom the greatness of the gift that was entering in the incarnate Word of God, Jesus. Today, we cannot fathom the greatness of the Word made flesh who has dwelt among us. But there's no greater gift. In summary, theologian Dale Bruner tells this story. A little boy named Gabriel Hurless turned 6 years old in January of 2009. And he was so absorbed, he was so focused, little six-year-old, so focused on eating his birthday cake, they said he didn't even notice a giant gift-wrapped package, Jeff, in the corner of the room. Giant. Well, one of his buddies saw it. He was at the party, and he nudged him. So now, little Gabriel, with eyes as big as saucers, rushes over to this giant package, you little fella, bigger than him. And he's excitedly tearing off the wrappings, and he manages to get it open. And lo and behold, what Gabriel found inside was not a bicycle, none of the usual items that a child might be dreaming about around Christmas time. It was far, far greater than any of these. It was Gabriel's dad, Army Specialist Casey Hurless, home on leave from the war in Iraq. Gabriel and his daddy had been separated for 7 months. And so when Officer Casey learned that his leave would actually coincide with his precious child's birthday, he hatched a plan to offer Gabriel an amazing surprise. He had himself wrapped up as the ultimate birthday gift for his child. Dale Bruner, the theologian, says that is what Advent and Christmas is all about. God wrapped up in Jesus, the baby of Bethlehem, the Savior of the world, the greatest gift that the world has ever received. You know what that gift means to you. You know the strength that the Lord has given you, especially during the tough times. Judy, you and John, you know. Roger, you know. Your family knows. Where would we be without Jesus? Where would we be without the Lord? We will never be without the Lord. Nothing will separate us from his eternal love. Nothing. And so we must bring this invitation to others. We must be prepared, you see. Always prepared. You never know when your witness might be the first introduction to the King of Kings. I got a surprise for you. I told Dick Miller. I got so excited when he, the head of our missions team, came up with the idea of having this pickle jar at the close of the service for the Salvation Army. I told Dick, I said, Dick, I just told the story of William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, just about a month ago, and came out of course, London, England. And it wasn't even 7 days past when a letter arrived on my desk in my office, a plea from Salvation Army. And I told Dick, I said I had goosebumps. The Lord is in this. The Lord is in this. Surprise, surprise. Are you ready? Before the communion. You ready, Tim? Got a surprise witness. I think Brad. I think it's somebody you're going to know. Go ahead, Tim.
I don't know if they'll be slow, but have a have a holly jolly Christmas. When you walk down the street, say hello, friends you know, and everyone you meet.
The Lord is in this. The Lord is in you if you will accept the invitation to prepare your heart. And why would you not do that? Why would you turn down such love as this? In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and again, after he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You do not have to be a United Methodist to receive the Lord's Supper. The Lord, the creator of all that is, just seeks to bring that love to you. All you do is just come forward. Again, these ushers, talk about your hospitality visitors. They're going to assist you. They're going to bring you forward. We're going to have two stations here to serve the Lord's Supper. You'll take a piece of the bread representing the body of Christ, and then you'll dip it into the cup representing the sacrificial blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Then you will take and eat. Give thanks. Receive the invitation. Prepare the way of the Lord. Dave, I'm going to have you come forward, and we've got some of our youth are going to serve in the other station, and I'm going to have Linda, the body of Christ, which was given for you. Linda, the blood of Christ, which was shed for you. Amen. This time the ushers will assist us as we serve the Lord through the morning offering.
Please join me for the prayer of dedication. Lord God, you have shown us your glory in your holy word, in the blessings of our daily lives, and in the promise of your eternal kingdom. You share your glory with us, giving us the power to live in holiness and godliness. In gratitude and thanks, we offer our hearts, our lives, and all that we have. Use these gifts, we pray, to prepare your way of salvation and to establish your realm of peace. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn is number 218, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
And during that hymn, remember, and by the way, you did recognize that was Brady Guest, right? Okay, well, during the closing hymn, we're going to take that invitation, and again, one of the greatest humanitarian ministries in the entire world. The Salvation Army, during the closing hymn, if you have a change offering, I'm sure Brady got to see plenty of these yesterday at the Walmart, but this is our opportunity as we sing the closing hymn. Let us sing.
Tell everyone the story of God's blessings in Jesus Christ.
We will proclaim the way of the Lord, saying, here is your God.
God comes to us with might, bringing glory and redemption.
We will proclaim the way of the Lord, saying, here is your God.
God entreats us with tenderness and patience, establishing peace.
We will proclaim the way of the Lord, saying, here is your God.
Go forth rejoicing as heralds of God's good tidings.
We will proclaim.